member of the SABC. Like all the other candidates, briefed him as to what to expect. We're going to give him a chance to just stick to this CV, this impressive CV that he has here. He's no newcomer to this process. He has done it before. And that's the second question that he has to answer in those 3 to 5 minutes that we're giving him just to speak, is why we should consider him for reappointment to the board. So he needs to start off by giving that. Mr. Becky, we have interviewed a lot of people, as you might know. And we have this difficulty to shortlist out of 37 people, 12 for the board. And you might just make it easier for us to reappoint you or to disqualify you. The choice that we've got to make. You see, so you must just give us a choice there, a clear one, as we finish this process with you. I was asked a question during the break as to how you are related to the president. I don't want to keep it to myself. You might just want to answer that up front. You see? They did last time too. So you should do it again. Okay. We don't want to be accused of nepotism and other things. But you can't be disqualified on the basis of family as well. So maybe if you can just clarify that one. We intend to, I'll give you a brief later on as to how we intend to run the whole process, but this is your time. Please, Mr. Becky, talk to your CV, tell us about yourself, remind us those who are not here, as to also why do you want us to consider offering your questions. As you speak, you press any one of the two, maybe the one on your left-hand side is the one, is the effective one. You just press speak, when you're done, you switch it off. What about you, sir?
Thank you, Ted, and thanks to the members of this House for affording me the opportunity to appear before this House again in an attempt to bring a testimony as to why I believe that I'm a worthy candidate to be considered for the second term of the SABC Board. The popular question in terms of my relationship with the President always gave a very consistent answer to that one, to say I have no relationship with the President. Going into my CV, Chairperson, I have a wealth of experience in terms of being born and raised in the rural areas, grew up in the urban areas of Port Elizabeth. With that wealth of experience, I really have both rural and city life experience. I've studied extensively, and I'm sure my credentials speak for themselves in terms of my academic achievement professionally. I'm one of those very few young people who at this stage of our lives have a 2 master's degree in different disciplines, of which one is business. I'm no stranger in broadcasting channels, and I would like to take this opportunity just to clarify that. When it was not fashionable to be in broadcasting, during the apartheid era, I was in broadcasting. I have 4 years of experience in broadcasting, starting from preparing a program, getting instructions from SABC in Johannesburg, in Africa, which I had to translate, and sometimes going on live on air. After that, when the censorship was still very prevalent in broadcasting, I would get a word to say, Mr. Lubeki, the statements that you said on air were actually provocative and insinuating of terrorist support actions. I've been there. Chairperson, I have 2 years of experience on TV, also during the apartheid phase, when it was not fashionable for anyone to be in broadcasting. I'm raising this thing, Chairperson, because there has been some insinuation previously to say one does not have experience in broadcasting, and I do. My strengths, in terms of what we are seeing, I'm an entrepreneur and businessman. I'm a community leader. And these two, Chairperson, on their own, some of the issues that are necessary for one to be at this level, serving the community. Worked with various organizations, youth formation, strength in terms of civil society. The list is endless, because you have my credentials before you. I'll be able and willing to answer all the questions. But I believe that person, having come through the ranks of youth formation, being a spokesperson for various organizations, place of general services, and being part of the process that put together the ICT charter today, and being part of the team that gave birth to the presidential charter on information society, I've always been working within the communication industry, even though really my strength in terms of academic background is more on human resource and human resource development, which is a key component that is required, in fact, in SABC, particularly now as we are approaching 2010. But I'm sure I'll be able to deal with some of those things going forward during the presentation.
Thank you very much. Members, over to you.
Chairperson, previously with members of the, currently the sitting members of the board, we've tended to be a little more focused on a whole range of issues. So bearing that in mind, I do have a list of questions about your CV and also your work currently on the board. But first of all, could I ask you, do you still consider yourself a young lion? I see your CV and even in the your report. I'd like to sort of, do you still see yourself as a young lion? Because talking to us now, you say you still see yourself as a community leader. I see that you now live in Tshwane, is that right? So if you could just give us some idea of the community work you're doing as you mentioned, if you could give us some idea. And moving from that, I'll get back to your work on the SABC board, but I see current capacities include, apart from your full-time employment, the Black Management Forum, Junior Chamber International, World Federation of Young Leaders and Entrepreneurs, Minister of Youth and Conscious Development and Peace Development, Government, Southern Africa, Board of Trustees for Youth Development of the Northwest Province, Advisory Board of Future Leaders, member of the task team against child pornography, and so on and so forth. So I want to ask you, bearing your full-time employment, this sort of work, have you missed any SABC board meetings? Have you attended them all? Do you find that you have the time? You obviously think you do because you're coming back and wanting to be selected again. So I just wanted an idea of your time management. But then specifically, your CV, you say, and you mentioned human resources specifically now in your interview, saying that this, you saw this as a particular strength that you're offering to us. And your CV says in particular that you're currently serving in the following committees: procurement, human resources, public broadcast services, finance, auditing, risk and security, etc. Well, I think I won't have time, but I think a lot of other members may want to ask you, and if they don't, I'll come back, about the risk management, given some of the problems currently being experienced in the board. I'd like to focus on human resources. How are you living in Tshwane? Do you ever visit any of the SABC offices? Have you ever visited any? In particular, I'd like your views on the Commission of Inquiry into Blacklisting and related matters, and if you feel that this issue has been satisfactorily dealt with by the board, and if so, why, and if not, why not, and what are the outstanding matters to your mind that need to be still dealt with? And I'd like to specifically, I did ask the Deputy Chair, I think it's only fair to ask you because she is heading human resources, as I understand. Bamawu have raised extremely serious issues relating to the Seapoint office, and numerous allegations, and in some instances facts of what has been happening in that office relating to staff and news coverage. So I'd like to ask you your views, if you are aware of those problems, and indeed, if not, why not? And lastly, if you could give me some idea of your views on why, and did you ever question why the SABC did not cover the Big Bay scandals that were so prominent in the newspaper, the awarding of the land to the party faithful here in the Cape, why the Black Man Goral scribblings and appalling allegations about so-called coloured persons were never covered by the SABC, in spite of the fact that it was headline news here, and that the mayor kept him on the payroll 6 months after he was dismissed. That was never covered. Why the arrest of the wife of the ANC leader in the Western Cape was never covered, and yet the arrest of the wife of a leader of another party was. So if you could just give me some idea of how you think that the SABC board, in which you have been part of the collective leadership, do you think you've covered yourself in glory insofar as being a public broadcaster where there's sort of equal space for political parties or not? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So let me first deal with the issue of being a lucky young man. I am. There's a thin line between being a young person and being youthful. Similarly, without any offense, particularly, my friend who's not here, House Number Go, would say there's a difference between somebody who is a disability activist and people living with a disability. And there's a thin line between somebody who is an HIV/AIDS activist and a person who is HIV/AIDS infected. I've graduated from being a young person with a distinction, if there was such a qualification. I've made a mark in this country in terms of playing a significant role as a young person. I'm now youthful. I'm no longer a young person. Even if there was any organization that would love to give me a membership of in the youth structure, my membership cannot be renewed anymore. I'm a youthful person. I'm young at heart. I have a lot of energy and youth discipline. All I know is what I do the best, and wherever two or three people have gathered in the name of youth development, you will see me there. So this is a noble cause which I've lived for and I believe in and I continue to pursue. Even the current discussion now in terms of reviewing policies to deal with youth issues in this country, I'm part of the task team that is looking into that. And when you talk about issues of youth parliament inside this house, our convener of the resource team that was embracing young people coming into this house, I'm youthful. I'm no longer a young person. I'm a youth activist. I'm a young lion. Time management. That's a very important question. I'm really grateful that you asked. I'm a businessman. SABC is very important to me. I've dedicated this first term of office as a board member of SABC in studying almost all SABC board activities. I've not been chairing not a single committee, but I've always made time to attend all other committees, even those that I was not sitting on and not getting paid for. Because I told myself to say, there will come a time whereby some honorable members of this house will be the chairperson will be the deputy minister, will be minister, will be president. And when that time comes, they would also find themselves in a similar situation where they would need leaders of this organization. I've invested the entire time of my tenure during the past 4 years in studying SABC operations at the oversight level as a board member. I've made so much time. I have never missed a single meeting of the board. I might have missed a committee meeting or two, but with good reasons. And my record speaks for itself. In terms of time management, the manner in which SABC is so important to me, my business partners, they all know that when we talk about activities of our business, it's first SABC and then I speak in other activities. Most of them actually even call me to say, you are so passionate about this SABC that we always have to fit in whatever SABC is doing. So I've done you, I've given more time to SABC, and I'm quite confident that the investment which this house has made putting someone like me in the board of SABC, it's now time for you to reap the benefits of that investment going to the second term. In terms of community service, it's an inherent trait of my personality. I believe in the model of a selfish, of helping people. And it's not something which I make an effort to do. It comes naturally. There are various organizations. I've made reference to a few during my opening remarks. In my CV, the business formation federations, which I'm involved in as a member and an active member, and youth formation. I just want to single out two. There is an organization which I'm a chairperson of called Roundup Foundation. Roundup Foundation has been awarded recently, signed a memorandum of understanding with the National Department of Social Development because of the ability for us to collect funds from different key points in this country. The National Department has given us a round of foundation, 20 NGOs, to say, Mr. Mbeki, we believe that this organization has the potential to raise funds. We are giving you this list of 20 NGOs, national NGOs, as beneficiaries of your endeavor, and we'll do everything to support you, and it's going so well. I've also made reference to future leaders, which also I'm a chairperson of the advisory board, whose headquarters are based in Devon, and there's a moral decay in our society of moral finance. And chairperson, an organization like Roundup Foundation, future leaders, which I'm a chairperson of, is concentrating amongst other things, skills development, skills transfer, but with a very consistent feature of making sure that we attract role models to young people, to speak to young people, and to mentor young people, because we believe that the investment in the future of this country is to make sure that we breed and prepare credible young people with good moral grounding. Please, and if I think in the interest of time, let me go to the next question. Visit of SABC offices. This is something that I do naturally. I serve in the advisory board of Northwest Youth Development. Each time I go to Northwest, I always go to SABC offices there, and I look at the infrastructure and the potential that resides in there. Recently, I attended a funeral in Tohendo, and wherever I go, this is what I always do as a principal. If I go to Limpopo, I always call the regional manager and say, look, I'm coming to your offices, I mean to your region, for personal affairs, but I know, should anything happen to me, you are going to be the first point of call. Yes, I've been to the Cape Town. Not very recently, but yes, I've been to it. So even when I was in Toyando about 3 weeks ago, I visited the SABC facilities there. I looked at it, and this is a normal thing that I often do wherever I go. I do visit SABC facilities, and also being part of the risk committee of SABC, I'll be able to raise a few other things when the time comes. The blacklisting. When something comes to our attention as members of the body, as a deity, we apply our mind and say it is in the public interest that we deal with it. The issue of blacklisting was brought to our attention. And indeed, we did the honorable thing. We appointed people outside the legacy. We are very capable as board members to do some research and investigate something. But we said, for this one, let us appoint an independent commission. And we did that exercise, the person, solely for us as board members to arrive at an informed decision to know what are the issues that are affecting as a legacy internally. That report was presented to us. However, let me say that we were subjected to an enormous pressure publicly to say that the report which we commissioned for ourselves, we had to make it public. And it did, unfortunately, went to the public in manners which we found so unethical and unwarranted. But we dealt with that. Now, having received the full commission, we looked at it, we discussed it as board members. There were clear recommendations. Most of those recommendations warranted us to share that type of information, particularly with the regulator, which we did. And we are from time to time using not only our own internal legal division, but also rely on expert opinions in terms of legal of our lawyer. We also put that into the attention of our lawyer. And we instructed the SABC GCO to act on some of the recommendations. We did that, Jefferson, solely for purposes of correcting some of the issues which were needed to be attended to. So this is work in progress, and we have acted accordingly, as it will always be expected when something of that magnitude is brought to the attention of board members. The three-point issue. The three-point issue as raised by the Mao actually became part of those investigations that we entered into as a board. I would want to mention that the situation is not unique to the three-point only. If you review to the report, you would find that there are some of the issues which were raised in Cypriot, which are actually also prevalent to other areas as well. Yes, it became part of the report, and we are privy to it as board members, and we are attending to it according to the system, particularly giving a clear instruction to the GCO to work with the MG of News in making sure that those things are attended to. There are some limitations, Jefferson, in terms of particularly the news division in SABC, but we have tried as report with very limited resources at our disposal to address most of the issues. Maybe let me then link that to the question of the incident which were not covered in Western Cape. We are often accused, Jefferson, of not giving coverage. I would like to bring things into another context. We, as SABC, only have 16 minutes of prime time to cover you. Our journalists, they try to go out and gather as many stories as possible. And our editorial policy does not allow us as board members, nor even the MG of News, as you know, to dictate as to which story should go into the news. The editorial team meets twice a day, and they compete in terms of story for the day that is going to get that very short slot of 16 minutes. And Jefferson, not every story gets covered. What we've done as a board, in an attempt to try to bring this thing into clear perspective, we've engaged on a roadshow to consult with stakeholders. We've also invited members of this house to the FADC to tell you and all other people the amount of pressure that we're working under in giving fair coverage and balanced coverage. It is not easy, gentlemen. And we are always objective and try to be as non-interfering as possible in terms of editorial policies, and not to say that this story should not be covered, that story should not be covered. So it was not by our design as board members, not the design of the new team, that such stories did not get coverage. It is the thing of fighting for the resources. As we are going forward, I will take the committee through some of the corrective measures we should put in place now in making sure that we get sufficient coverage and make sure that all organizations, all parties are pleased with coverage as it is going to be given. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fortune. Left us another bite for our questions, but for now let me take Mr. Nimaro.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Andile, as you have been a serving member, what has been your specific strength that you brought to the committee and your contribution in the innovation of some of the programs or ideas that you brought in specifically to subcommittees or any committee that you have served on? Should you not appoint you or recommend you, what will fall apart as the work that has been in, that is in progress right now that you are doing? You need to finish up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chairperson, let me go back to the point where I said I thank this committee particularly for having recommended me to be appointed previously, as said now. And when I was saying, Chairperson, I have not been chairing not a single committee of the board. And I've dedicated the entire time of my tenure to study all activities of SABC, different committees, different committees. Here you have someone who has an institutional memory of SABC, not only on at an oversight level, but also as a practitioner previously. The 4 years of experience, Mr. Kimaro, which I've been behind the mic myself, I've gone through the process of producing programs, presenting them, packaging them. I know what it means when we say that when you, at a certain point in time, you need to go make sure that you put time for and breaks and all that. Now, the value which I've been adding to this board is that because of that work of experience, in fact, out of the outgoing board members, I am the only one who has been behind the mic as a broadcaster and in television production. So there is that one of experience that resides in me. When management prepares proposals, business plans to bring to the board, most often that one, the board will rely on my understanding of the processes. Whether does it really take this much time, resources, personnel and financial and otherwise, to produce a product, a property of a certain nature. And that's the very that I've been adding to it. With my experience in terms of television, producing television programs, there is a concept which we often talk about of bridge. We often make, we get business out in the case. Chairperson, we've gone at this board to an extent of looking at the themes that are going to go into the local context. And with my experience here, I've added a lot of value in making sure that we are changing the landscape of the current broadcasting. I will, set it out as we go through the questions, talk about the balance which I've created between the local and international content as something which will change at this point. But that's the synopsis.
I've got on my list of Ms. Guna, Mr. Peterson, Ms. Smart, Mr. Kumalo, and Mr. Mashalo in that order. Mr. Ms. Guna?
Inkomo Mthamo Ashituri. It is now almost 13 years that we are in this democracy. And to you, Mr. Mbeki, allow me to say, right up to now, when looking at the 11 official languages, you know, they are not covered. Then maybe one would like to know as to what role have you played in ensuring that all these 11 official languages are covered, you know, nationally in your broadcasting system. One also appreciates the fact that you have been a rural boy, you've got experience of the ruralness, and you visit areas like Limpopo, where there are rural people. So in your visit there, as a board member, which language do you use when you arrive there? Do you use, are you able to amba nga Tshivenda?
No.
Or ba kosi kona kublabula iChangana? Because right as we are here now, most members cannot differentiate between Tshitonga and Tshivenda. If you speak Tshitonga, they take it to be Tshivenda. If it's Tshivenda, they take it to be Tshitonga. So having done all these studies, what role are you playing in ensuring that these 11 official languages are taken on board? We are right here in Cape Town. At times, nilabela kupulela mungana lonene, but I can't. I must listen to Radio Metro and so on. I'm far away from home, and I cannot be taken, you know, home just for a slight moment. So what role do you anticipate yourself going to play, let's say you nominated to be the board member? And then my second question, Chairperson, is in relation to the advert. Mr. Mbeki, when one listens to the advert, especially in Tshitonga, in Tshivenda, in Sesotho, the tone, the inclination is Eurocentric. What role do you foresee yourself, you know, playing in ensuring that an advert in Tshitonga is typically a Tonga advert? It must not start by being in English and then translated to Tshitonga. And then, Chairperson, lastly, what one would like to, when looking at Mr. Mbeki's CV, he has done some studies in the outcome-based education. If you could just, you know, in a nutshell, explain how do you see it being implemented, because it had problems in your own. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Chair, let me start with the issue of language. I'm going to be tempted to get into the local content affairs.
Let me start off with the issue of language. When our regulator set quotas for us to cover the broader spectrum of language of our country, that was something which we welcomed as LABC. Because if you understand broadcasting, we have what is called a spectrum, which is a limited platform currently to have various broadcasting platforms. When we came in, Chairperson, we discovered that the majority of the languages were sidelined, particularly those which are attributed to the majority languages. At this board, we took the matter up with the regulator, and this, from TV side, coincided with the time when we contested to say we cannot afford using the current existing platform to give coverage because solely of another issue that is linked to the funding model, which I hope I will be able to talk about. We have to rely on advertisers, but we also have a public money to deliver. So we contested strongly to be awarded regional licenses to make sure that we address that. At this stage, we have that opportunity now, that which we are working on a business plan that is going to address that.
But he said, we are not going to wait until we are offered the three licenses. We have to deal with the status quo as it is and make sure that we change the system now.
We embarked on that. We've increased the number of news bulletins in this country more than any other public broadcaster in the world. In fact, what we have done on annual basis, we have what is called PBS colloquium, whereby we invite our counterparts in other parts of the world to discuss problems which we are faced with as ABC. And I find it very unique that we are almost self-funded internally and were able to deal with the language issue. We have not done enough, but we have since made very significant inroads in making sure that languages are enjoying platforms in the news. You have now various news bulletins in other languages. However, there are still other factors that you still have to deal with in terms of time of those news bulletins. We are very much concerned and aware that even though we are trying, but the times that we accommodate those news bulletins are not the right time, and we're not treating those citizens of South Africa with the dignity that they deserve, because everybody would like to get the news at prime time. The second point, Jack, is that we are moving now towards digitalization. And enormous opportunities now are going to come in terms of accommodating this platform. But we said we're not going to wait until digitalization process is through. What we did, we introduced an online system. We have managed to make sure that the resources that were generated from financial year-end, we do not declare them as profits, but we plow them back in making sure that now if you are sitting here, you can be able to go online and listen to Malapala, and listen to Tobela, and listen to Manuel. We have introduced this uniquely as this new board, and we've been getting a lot of hits worldwide. A lot of people have been very grateful about the commitment which we have made at this board. That is just some of those things which someone like me, with a rural background, has brought to the SABC to say, you cannot afford a situation whereby any station like SAFM, which has a listenership of about 600,000, have marketing managers, have very sophisticated broadcast facilities, and our stations like Ukhozi that have more than 6 million does not have similar resources. So it's not only about Ukhozi, Umhlobo, or Elizabeth, the big three, but we've gone throughout and making sure that we plow our resources throughout all the stations. And we have, on annual basis, what we call board summits, interacting with management and people who are actually running the stations and who are dealing with programming issues. Chairperson, the levels of appreciation which they express when they leave us, if things could go according to their hope and wish and will, I'm sure they would give a 100% vote of confidence in expressing the interest to say this board must be retained in its own entirety. And people like me who have been very active in supporting them, I'm sure they will definitely single some of us out.
Chief, thank you very much. You've got two questions that we have not responded to. Oh, just your views about this Eurocentric advert in the indigenous languages and the implementation of OBD. Just quickly.
The advertising. When perhaps the question comes about how we're dealing with issues of local content, I just want to bring it here to the attention of the House today. 80% of what you see on TV does not come from SABC. We commission it to different commission houses. Similarly, we also commission an advertising agent for a period of 3 to 5 years to work on our adverts. It's true that we have to demystify this thing that when somebody speaks English, with an African accent, that person does not make sense or is not sounding progressive enough. I speak English and I believe that I'm very eloquent and articulate, but I don't deviate from my accent. I'm very proud of that.
The tendency is linked to what I talked about in terms of my involvement in the conversation life since I did it. Young people in particular have this tendency that you need to speak with an American accent or European accent to sound intelligent. And it is not true. They are very intelligent people with an African tone, and they are very intelligent people with all other indigenous languages of this country. And when they speak, someone who will be in the minority at that time will say, you speak with an accent. And the question you will ask will say, which accent? Someone will say, it's an African accent. If you are in Africa, you speak with an African accent. The person who actually should be speaking with an accent is the one who speaks with a different accent, European accent. So what we have done, because these things are commissioned outside, we have now put in place within SABC various advisory bodies. One of those advisory boards is the language board, to make sure that nothing goes on there without being subjected to those cultural practitioners and language practitioners. It's a concern which we have picked up, and it's something which we are taking up with our producers and everybody on our commission business too. OBE, the Department of Education is working enormously on this issue, but I can safely say that our previous system of education was getting people to be certificated than to be knowledgeable. People were chasing a collection of certificates without necessarily focusing on substance, on saying, upon acquiring that qualification, what will you then be able to do? The outcome-based education's main focus is to say, you do not necessarily need to have a qualification for you to be knowledgeable. You do not necessarily need to have a piece of paper that can demonstrate that you are able to do this for you to do. So it's an attempt to drive the education system and change the curriculum of the country to bring products out of the system who are capable to do things on their own, particularly focusing on scientific and entrepreneurial. The list is long, I would represent it.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mr. Peterson?
Voorzitter, bij je dank. Ik wil vragen, ik zal vragen mijn onderzoek om een week in Afrikaans te voeren. Ik zeg dat hij zo veel talen is. Maar terwijl het dan zegt, zal ik hem maar in Engels doen weer. Maar zo'n week als ik neer ben, dan zei dat I have no relevance at all. I'm not relevant of the president, I will always say yes. Always is the option. Ik heb een dag ontstaan waar ik het smart als earlier of research area to that. And around the report, not the smart, sorry, the spot. Response about the report, particularly around the seaborne steel. I can promise you very little has been done from the recommendation from that report. To some extent, we've raised it with a deputy chairperson that I know of a journalist that's turned out to be my friend, that in fact left SABC because things got worse. Raises some difference in payment and all kinds of things. And she just left, frustrated, and she will meet with a deputy chairperson not or soon from now. Coming back, Jason, and also agreement with Ms. Foss about how do we broadcast or report on certain things. There's a situation where a mayoral committee member of the current government of the city of Cape Town, there's allegations of him of mismanagement in terms of big pay, and the SABC doesn't report on it. Is it because the DA is governing it? It can't be fair. Seriously, Jen said it was a person, an allegation. he's a member of the mayoral committee that serves with the mayor, Helen Zilla. She's investigating something, but the SABC don't report it. But the print media does it. Well, I'm making it. It's referred to the broadcast of certain allegations in the print and not being covered by the electronic, particularly by the public broadcaster. Coming back to economics, sir, very often it seems to be a tendency when SABC does do broadcasting, it seems to be focusing on the first economy and very little or none of the second economy. How do you see trying to correct that skew representation of the economy of the country? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Beck.
My first response to the issue of the point. We are grateful that you are continuously raising these things about it. Because it's when the issues are raised that we continue to pay particular attention. Correctly said that we have instructed the GCOS of SABC to look into the recommendations of the report. But one thing, Chairperson, which perhaps I should have mentioned in my opening remarks, that in SABC, you need members of the board who are caring, who have a caring heart. Because all what, in most cases, people need is just to be cheered up, to be recognized, and to be appreciated in the conditions under which they are working. I'm one of those few board members who is able to interact with employees of SABC, and I know the frustrations which they are confronted on a daily basis. We are trying, using the limited resources at our disposal, to address these inadequacies. It might happen that the case is not as much swiftly as it is designed, and we'll take note of these things to be attended to. One of the things, Chairperson, which is of serious concern, is that because we are public broadcasters, we are unable to meet our competitors in terms of paying salaries that are competitive to the market. But it's not only money that actually attracts people to a workstation. It is also about
the money. You're doing very well, but also you're going to end up giving a board report. So I need just to intervene here and say you are doing very well. We are going to meet with the board before the end of their term to take forward some of the issues. So I'm also appealing to members that some things do not have to be exhausted here. But the major question, I think the issue of the Big Bay scandal, the issue of Sea Point, those are issues that still can be followed up. The question is about the plight of those who are still trapped in the second economy. The SABC response to that. If you can just address that so that I take other members. Sorry to.
That's fine. Chairperson, we as this board are very committed in building the second economy of this country. But let me start with the new division and then come to the board quickly. We have a serious problem in South Africa as a country in terms of journalists who are economists. But another pressure which we have in SABC is our ability to attract them because of the packages and salaries which we are offering to them. What we have done, in an attempt to address that, we have prioritized various position, and which we have called them hot skills as a board. We say one does not necessarily have to be a GCO to earn a certain salary with an SABC. We are now in the process of looking at incentives and ways of attracting people so that we can be able to attract those people who are going to be able to report to us about economic issues. The economic desk and the labor desk is one that from time to time continues to suffer immensely, but we are targeting it. Second, when we talk about building the economy, this board came in and were able to increase SABC revenue from 2 billion to close to 5 billion. And the question which we should be asking ourselves is, if when we declare the profit at the end of the financial year, we say we have made maybe a profit of 200 million. What has happened to the 4 billion? And these are the issues of procurement. Now, I sit in the procurement committee of the SABC. I've been instrumental in converting the committee from what used to be called BE committee, putting the procurement policy together, which we've just now adopted as a board. We have regional managers of LABC, Chairperson, who are perceived to be leaders in their own right in their region. But these are people, Chairperson, from time to time, which we subject them to serious levels of embarrassment. Because when local people go to SABC regional offices and ask people, what are the opportunities in SABC in terms of business? In terms of the current status quo of SABC, and which is the reason I'm saying, Chairperson, consider me to come back to this board again. In terms of businesses, SABC, South African Broadcasting Corporation is not a South African Broadcasting Corporation when it comes to business. It is a Johannesburg Broadcasting Corporation. People have to leave their home to go to Johannesburg to get business opportunities in SABC. And Chairperson, we are coming up at this board now with a new procurement policy, which is going to ensure that the decentralization of SABC resources, of SABC nationwide. That is what we are committing ourselves to. You can ask yourself, Honorable Peterson, to say, why there's only live studio production in Johannesburg, which SABC gives business to? Is it because perhaps the people of Limpopo cannot get together and put a studio there? Is it because people of KwaZulu-Natal cannot do the same and Nelspruit and everywhere in this republic? No. It's because people do not have faith currently to say, if they put those lump sums of investment, would SABC respond adequately to give them businesses in other parts of the world? Now, we have a procurement policy in place, and we are going to make sure that you do not have to go to Johannesburg to get business from SABC. You are going to get business from SABC right in the corner where you are.
Thank you very much, Ms. Klotz.
Maybe forgive me now, but I get the impression that you don't play a very great role on that board. And by your own description twice, you go around and attend all of the committees because you don't chair one in particular. But you've tried to sell yourself to us here as a kind of a custodian of institutional memory. But at the same time, you give an account of what happened with the blacklisting report that doesn't accord at all with what is in the public domain. You say you commissioned that report for yourselves as a board. You did not. And not only did you not commission it for yourself, there was an undertaking both from the chairman of the board and the GCEO, which I think was the person who commissioned the report. There was an undertaking that it would precisely be made public, and that whatever facts it might reveal would not be spread under the carpet. And that is why there was such a sense of shock when, in fact, it was held back and thereupon leaked. Whereas you suggest, you said in so many words, it was a report you commissioned for yourself, and therefore it was so unethical when it was in fact leaked. So, I mean, I'm sorry, that's the version you've given, it's not the version I know. And I regret to say to you that, I mean, if we think it's suitable to have a candidate on the board specifically representing youth, is that one of the criteria? I don't think so. But if it's considered to be useful to have someone representing youth, then we've just interviewed some other really rather impressive people. And I'd like to ask, give you now an opportunity to answer one last thing. The matter of the Mafika Sishlali, I think Suzanne indicated that someone needed to ask you, because you do purport to sit on the finance and the risk management and so forth committees. Now, give us an account, please, and bear in mind that we've seen some of the other senior board people, and we will be talking to some of the others as well. Why don't you give us an account of what on earth has been going on here? What is alleged as disgusting? Fraudulent invoicing, double invoicing, it's simply disgusting. Would you not like to give us an account of what has now happened over the last few days, and why this person was not suspended earlier? In your view, is that acceptable? Did he remain incumbent in his post throughout this period when internal audit was in fact investigating him? Isn't that very undesirable? Would you give us some sort of your own take on this, please, but a factual one?
Thank you.
Chairperson, there is no designation in the body. That's called youth. That's called youth activity. So, I am not converting to be a youth representative of the board. I'm a man of substance. And I understand SABC processes. I'm very experienced in broadcasting. That's the wealth of experience I'm bringing to SABC. It's not about being young person. And I have to demystify that. The second issue is that when I said we have commissioned the report to look, which we call the full commission. Yes. Yes. It was for us as a board to understand what has happened there. When I said it was unethical for the report to leak, I did not use my word. The report leaked even before some of the board members could have sight on it. And it was a board commission report. And it leaked. Before we could even apply our mind to look at it, the merits and the demerits of the recommendation and findings, that was very unethical. Whoever was responsible for that, really, it's unethical to have that level of information conducted with level of confidentiality to go out to the public before the custodians of the report could have sight on it. That's my position. The second issue linked to that. We did make the report public in our own accord. We've gone through reports, we've picked up recommendations, and we've accounted to the public in terms of our findings. And actions thereof, which have to be undertaken, which we have as the board instructed the GCO to follow up on them. And that is work in progress. With regard to Mr. Tishani, it's true. I do sit in the audit committee of the SABC. The KSMA section 50-52 gives clear responsibilities in terms of what board members should do in an event when there is some form of irregularity. When that irregularity was picked up, and let me put it correctly to say, at this stage, it remains being allegations. What we do as board in an event of that nature, we have a responsibility to protect the assets and the finances of the corporation. And that's our provision from the KSMA, which derives that power. We commissioned an internal investigation by our own internal auditors. They brought to us the information. We then further engage the external services to make sure that there's a fair balance in terms of the allegations. We've got an opinion. We then source expertise of a senior counsel to say, we know what we have to do as board members in an event like this. But weigh for us the options which are available at our disposal, because you cannot just on the basis of allegations jump into conclusions. We've gone through that process. Again, at that point, the report leaked. It is unethical for the report to leak in any organization when custodians of that organization are still applying their mind on it. And this external pressure or public pressure to say we're not acting. We're applying our mind. You cannot, on the basis of allegations, make such a decision that can affect somebody's career, somebody's image, somebody's reputation in society without following the due course and applying your mind and getting the facts together.
One would have done better than that. We are now at a point where we say, to be fair with the process, let us afford Mr. Sisali an opportunity to give his account. Chairman, we are responsible board members. We do act swiftly when things like this happen. There are many other investigations which we are working on, but we take a very strong exception about the continuous leakages. But what also makes us to even take more exception is that this is not unique. It's not the first investigation that we're doing. We first commissioned an investigation which we called the Gobodo investigation. And say, there's a question in this thing. In the Gobodo investigation, without insinuating that there are possible racial-driven motives, it was a very sensitive report, which could have implicated companies who are cannot mention. It never did. And if you look at the amounts of money which are involved in the Gobodo report, and possibly monies that are involved in some of the reports that have leaked, they don't even constitute 0.1%. And when you ask yourself, why these things are happening, you always left in the dark to say, something is wrong. But you are typing, you are doing our best now to type it.
Mr. Mbeki, thank you. We still have three members, Kumalo, Mosanoka, and Yengeni. Before we take the... With the other two, are we still outside? Just to put it clearly that the previous board member said that in the previous Gobodo report, there were white people involved, and that they might lead a racial motive as to why those reports were not leaked, and things like that. Those are matters that we are going to take forward, just for information. It's noted. I'll come back to my notes. I think it's Mr. Masoni or Ms. Kunta, one of the two. Okay, it's Kunta. Yes. They leak selectively.
No, the people who were not on the board at the time make allegations of racial violence when something.
No, they were actually. You. Mother Smart, Mother Smart, let's not fight too much over the leaks. Because is it not a matter that we said let's go back to the board and engage on some of these issues so that we can get to the bottom of it? You see, all of them, and the board in particular.
No, because it's lame that it exists. You know why?
I'm trying to, but I was from South, and this is about the time when I'm supposed to speak this type of catfight in my classroom.
Not all the time.
That observation is noted, Mr. Kumalo. Can we just go back to the list? We've got Mr. Kumalo, Mr. Mosanoha, and Ms. Inge.
Chairperson, I must stress this thing. You know, it is disturbing. It's actually very disrespectful. When a member addresses a candidate, and we all listen, we want to hear, give him a chance, but sometimes, when we are supposed to speak, then there are all these types of unofficial people who are speaking, who are not going to know. This is an interview, serious interview of the SABC board. So I don't like that, and I'm not going to, especially when I'm supposed to speak. Now, Mr. Breaking, you are quite under pressure as a board. The issues that there's a perception that the print media is against you, or the SABC itself under pressure. One, they don't like the manner how the blacklisting issue was reported. Two, the issue of the SABC, PSM, super sport issue. The audit report on Mafika Sikali. Why is it that the SABC board believes that it is being undertaken by the print media? What does make a national broadcaster to be perceiving itself to be under attack, and when the things are just happening? And two, these things, all of them are happening now, and I think that there is, it demonstrates the type of either leadership crisis or a problem, or the board not executing its fiduciary duties. These things are happening, there's not all of them during the term of this board. And Unfortunately, every time there's not been anybody taking responsibility of any person being punished or anybody being able to say, look, it's me, forgive me, or I'm sorry, or this. I don't know why is it that all the time there's no punishment, or there's nobody taking the flag, or somebody, what is the fall guy or whatever, but all the time. I'm not on the first question. The second issue is that there is a perception, and this is a thing that we must do because of the social committee and the board. The perception that there is a possibility that either part of your news coverage, your news and current affairs people, get involved in political issues either in favor of the opposition parties or in favor of particular alliance partners or in favor of individuals within organizations that might be perceived to be having problems. I'll give an example of what I'm talking about. One is that during the booing of the deputy president of the country, it was said that SABC did not report them. SABC, I don't explain to say why, but in terms of that, when the deputy president was put in Eintracht some time ago. Secondly, there's an issue of Zimbabwe. And I must tell you, I said this before, I'm going to say that in another position as well, like, what is the fact? Every time you cover the Zimbabwean issues and issues of human rights, abuses, and that, you very often give prominence to a number of people. One, a guy called Gift Chimaniki, he's a spokesperson of the former MDC actually as a whole. He used to get quite a lot of coverage. The other one before he died was Leonard Jong. The third person you can't give coverage is the action leader of the MEC called Asamu Sambara, currently based in Sandton, in Johannesburg, and lastly, it is the leader of the Bushi Revolution Party himself, Matabok and Sangara. I have not yet, in all the times I've been, and I've got a keen interest in Zimbabwe. Not that my great-grandparents are from there, in there, so of course, in that part of Mashonaland, but because every time there's not a point that we give us to listen at least yet, whether ZANU-PF or government of ZANU are saying. Now, the spokesperson of the police in Zimbabwe is called Wayne Vusejena. And the person who normally deals with the issues of the international issue is Didimus Mutanga in Zimbabwe, both international and even in terms of media and everything. Lastly, the Secretary General, who normally speaks on behalf of ZANU-PF, is a guy called Emmerson Mnangagwa. He's now the speaker. Now, all the time, when you reflect Zimbabwe, you don't seem to have a balanced view. And I'm not speaking on behalf of ZANU-PF. I'm just saying, as a broadcaster, you need to at least all the time give us views on either things. And I must tell you, I personally do not like what I see happening in Zimbabwe. Just generally to set the point. So I'm saying that example that I'm giving in terms of what is the board, how when the board looks into this coverage and current issues, what is the view of why there's no coverage of that? The first example is the issue that relates to the Kent documentary on the president that the SABC had done therapies. The other one was an issue that relates to the deputy president of the country, or the deputy president of the ANC, apparently was supposed to receive some coverage as a newspaper of the year 2005. I don't know what happened, but that was supposed to have been Kent. And then the issue of the premier of KwaZulu-Natal on June 16th, that it was not covered when the story should have been covered. And then lastly, the leader of the Democratic Alliance, by then Mr. Tony Leon, has launched a campaign to highlight the abuse of children by hanging 1,000 or 1,000,000 panties in Bishop Lagos. Now, those panties, before the campaign could start, they were stolen. The Bishop Lagos committee took all of them. But that was not highlighted. Especially the court in Cape Town. You see, now I'm saying there is a perception. No, I must repeat what I'm saying. The last one, if you didn't get it. I'm saying the DA launched a campaign to highlight the extent of child abuse in the country. And by doing that, they then bought 1,000,000 panties, which they hang in Bishop Levitt in the washing line. But the panties got stolen or got retaken before the DA could launch that campaign. And that issue was not highlighted in the SABC. It was only in the Cape Town that when I'm not saying, it's a holy in me, but one of the things that he didn't come across. Now, the point that I'm trying to cross, to put across, Mr. Meg, is that the independence of the broadcaster, especially in terms of political influence, is very important. The issue of political interference also that you've dealt with, we do not want that to happen most of the time. Now, it shouldn't be that there's a profession that sometimes either the current news and current affairs, either is this an editorial editor there in various SABC 1, 2, or 3, that either there's a perception that there are still SABC people who are still attached either closely to the opposition parties, be it Inkatha, be it DA, there's also a perception that SABC people, some of them, are still attached to particular individuals within the ANC. Therefore, they influence this thing and we don't want that. As a Botswana committee, now, I'm not talking on behalf of any body, but I'm just saying we need to deal with that because we need a powerful independent broadcaster so that even after 10 years, out of the 15 years, it's not in power. We know that they have the broadcaster fellowship objective. Now, this is my question to you. Why is it that there's this perception that there's political interference, there's a lack of objectivity in the men and how news and current affairs are covered? Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Kumalo.
And I'm sorry, sir, your last question. The last question is, what is the view or the vision of the broad, of the board of our national trajectory? What is that that we South Africa should be seen as we pride ourselves with? America in terms of military strength, Japan in terms of technology, China in terms of manufacturing, Zimbabwe in terms of land grants and stuff like that. I'm asking you, what is that we should be seeing? People are talking about crime. We are now reflected as a criminal country. Two, we are reflected as a country with good ideas in terms of peaceful solutions to problems. We are reflected as a soccer loving country. Rugby, cricket, what is that should be our target? That you as a broadcaster, you must put us across the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Meg.
Jay, I will try to be as brief as possible, but without leaving out a single stone unturned. Mr. Kumalo, it's true that there is a perception in terms of biasness within the newsroom. What we have done in this case, we have taken particularly independent survey to check whether is our news reporting in favor of certain organizations or individuals. And the average rating in terms of international standards is that for as long as you are above 70%, you are perceived to be objective. However, with regard to SABC, we got a 94% accuracy from the survey we have conducted from an independent body. We, as board members, as protection of this house, we have also given us the mandate to exercise oversight role over all operations of SABC. And also members of the public ourselves. We have made this observation that sometimes our journalists would not do a thorough job in terms of researching the stories, and they might rely on print media as secondary source. Chairperson, I think one of the things which I need to mention here, in coming back to the second term of the board, having worked so tirelessly now, there is an area which we have not done justice to as a board. We have not celebrated our milestones. We have not had a very consistent voice of the board that is speaking on behalf of SABC about things that we are doing right and things which we are picking up as not going so well, or agreeing with the public and indicating to the public out there that these are the actions that are going to be taken. Maybe we need to consider now coming back to the second term of the board to make sure that there is a consistent voice of the board. What we have done subsequent to that, we have commissioned companies that working with us to deal with media and reporting. But I think it's insignificant. And take your point that this is something that we really have to do. We need to have someone speaking regularly on behalf of the board about these things. The print media, it's inevitable that the print media will always find a way of criticizing SABC. We are operating in a very competitive environment, and we are competing for the same resources, that is from advertising companies. So the credibility of a company is what determines whether advertisers are going to believe in the value of that company to put their money in. So each time you see print media attacking SABC, they're not fighting SABC as a public broadcaster, but they're actually fighting the very of the resources to make sure that they persuade otherwise companies not to look at SABC as a credible organization to put their money in. So that's the main value. And it's going to continue for as long as we are existing as SABC. The counter measure to that is that we should not, as SABC board, only rely on our platforms to communicate our position. We must also use the print media as a platform. However, our experience is that in most cases, if we do not pay for a full page of what we want to put out as a statement, we call a press conference. There's high levels of inaccuracy that goes into the print media about something we should have called them into a room to tell what SABC board is doing. So I take the point, and I'm committing myself going forward to say that if you consider me to come to the seventh point, this is something that we really have to consider. The seventh point about the Zimbabwe, generally, in terms of the unbalanced view. So we have taken...
Yes. I think we must go directly to the question that deals with the national trajectory.
Okay.
Yeah, the concluding one before we go. I wanted to take Mr. Hadin before we go on lunch.
Okay. So, what we should try ourselves as South Africans, and this is the message which SABC is carrying, we are a developing country, and we pride ourselves in making sure that we are covering developmental stories as SABC that are going to put our democracy on the map. Unfortunately, most of those are linked to what government is doing. And each time when we give coverage in terms of what government is doing, it's embracing all South Africans. We are coming from a very bitter past. And we all have scores which we are resisting to go back to. But we have a unique model which the world is aspiring. That of the reconciliatory spirit. And SABC is always looking at environmental stories in saying what people, what organizations, regardless of political affiliation, are doing in making sure that we are taking this country forward. So what to try ourselves, Jefferson, is democracy. However, sometimes this democracy is taken too far. You find instances where really people say, it is indeed really we were not in a democratic society. Something like this or that shouldn't be happening. But that is the pride of South Africa, because people can do things and yet still be protected by the democratic principles that were put in place and SABC is covering.
I'm hoping that you're going to go longer on the next one.
I've just a few short questions. One is the issue of this leakages of reports. And in your view, this is unethical. Now, first question, doesn't the SABC on its news bulletin also run stories? And if it does,
is it not unethical to do so? Well, it may be a next story from this or that government department or this or that particular department. The second is about the PSL rights. Look, if I was a shareholder in the SNBC, expecting value from, my investment, then heads have to roll. Now, here, as a portfolio committee, do you think we should look at the board for these heads that must roll? Well, seated there as a board member, who in the SNBC's head must roll? Perhaps also to phrase it differently, if you were to be given another opportunity to deal with the PSL rights, do you think you'd still do it in the same way? Mm. Or do you think that there are lessons that have been learned? The last question is about this caning, the booing, and so on. Does booing really, is it newsworthy? From a perspective of a public broadcaster, that somebody had to be disciplined for not covering something which might as well not have been a newsworthy. And this question of commissioning, does commissioning mean broadcasting? All the works that you do commission, do you broadcast them? Thank you.
Thanks, with regards to the leak of the stories I relate, I believe firmly that the leak of any information is an ethical exercise. But we have put serious measures in place to make sure that there are no further leakages. But you say sometimes these things would happen out of human errors and otherwise, and we are working on that. With regards to SNBC journalists picking up stories from leaked sources, what we have done at the board to say the MD of news must focus on objective and developmental stories. If there is anything which has been picked up, which we believe would make the nation to talk, we have put those issues on current affairs program, like your interface, so that we are not perceived as SABC as making a pronouncement around that issue. We invite experts from the society to debate those issues. One of the programs which only pick up things that are happening on that particular week is what we call in the public interest. And if you look at the composition of the panel, it's very balanced. And that is our commitment in making sure that we have a very fair balance in as far as that one is concerned. So in an event where a journalist has picked up a story from a leaked source or a secondary source, not original, we have actually taken action. And this is one thing that we have said, maybe we have not reported. We have taken action on people. But we have also taken further to say, ours is not necessarily to reprimand, but we have a very strong developmental program. We are sending our journalists to institutions like Rhodes University, Vets University, and our tracking programs with University of Limpopo and Portel. Well, we also do not want to maintain the status quo of taking SABC resources to already institutions that have previously benefited and are well resourced. So we're taking SABC resources to all the institutions which are regarded as historically disadvantaged. So that's our commitment, so that we are not only reprimanding, but also focus on the developmental side too. The PSL issue is a very sensitive one, and it's in the court of law. But there are some things
which we have to put very clear. One of them is that SABC has done everything according to the book and on time, in as far as KSL is concerned. However, when you deal with PSL, you deal with people who, when it suits them, they create an impression that PSL belongs to the public. But when that very same public has to benefit, using a resource like SABC, which has very limited resources, a facility like SABC with limited resources, one of the prominent features of a public entity is that one should be able to compromise on profit. Now, let's take this to say PSL belongs to public. Now, if a public broadcaster is unable to meet the requirements as best, what you would expect, the level of commitment from PSL people is to compromise on profit. But when that call comes, there are some other commodities that come in. Selfishness and greed kicks in, which is driven by capitalistic motives. And that is the crux of the matter. For as long as we are not dealing with that hardcore issue, we are not going to find a solution around the other. Yes, follow me, Mr. Lucas. There are some lessons which have learned during the PSL, and we have mastered them, and going forward, the issue of rights, the issue of intellectual property, and many other components, particularly which I'm sitting on the risk committee, who are prioritizing them. And one of those very few people who are considered to come to the next board, we have that level of institutional memory in terms of going forward. We have learned from the things which we are going to work on. The last comment shortly on Boeing. There is a tendency of sensational reporting. People looking at those things that are actually going to play with the emotions and feelings of the public. We try our level best to be as objective as possible and embark on investigative journalism. Yes, there have been instances where, because of lack of resources, we have not been able to cover the whole country, but we are now plowing our resources there, and we have in places like nationwide bureaus where we are going to be picking up information so that people can focus on investigative journalism and report objectively. Those are processes that are ongoing.
You've made this point several times. Do any heads left a role on the PSL matter, on the board or anywhere else? Yes or no?
Everything, SABC has done everything correct. We are hoping that the arbitration process that we are waiting for, if outcomes correct next week, will rule in favor of SABC, because SABC has been treated unfairly.
So no heads left a role?
At this stage, no. We shall review.
Michigan.
Thank you, Chair. Mr. Mbeki, if you were to evaluate the performance of the current board in general, what would you say? You've said a lot about its strengths. Perhaps you should dwell on its weaknesses. Two, the perception that the SABC is biased towards certain political leaders or certain leaders within a party, is it not only something that is portrayed by the media, but that perception is it is outside it. I will not dwell on the examples that have been forwarded. I will come with a new one. For instance, there is an issue which is outside the currently in relation to the letter that has been leaked in France, which they are saying it was written by President Mbeki to the Prime Minister of France, Mr. Sarkozy. What we have seen in the SABC, being a public broadcaster, the only person that has been brought in to talk about that issue, it was yesterday in the morning live. I don't know the name of this person, but he was interviewed by William Woolley. Mr. Len something, the podcast called Len something, I forgot about the name, but definitely Woolley will know about him. And that person only holds one view of the matter. Those are things that are reinforcing the fact that the SABC is intolerant to the views or to any information that will come up that is critical to the president. You see, so because it's not bias, I mean, it's not balanced. It's one person which is sort of an apology to get something from France, it didn't get it from here. Don't you think that you should bring the Solela Mangi out of this world with those people and listen to the critical and the pro? Don't you think that would be a fair, approach?
Thanks, Mr. Mbeki.
Chairperson, with regards to the achievement of the board, is it true really that it's quite a lot that we've done? As we have requested my meeting that I must focus on perhaps witnesses. With very limited resources, Chairperson, we have managed to increase the number of news bulletins in SABC. Now we have 254 news bulletins per day and 1,270 news bulletins per week. Now, back to the issue of how does that link to our witnesses. I'm not necessarily going to say all is well within SABC. There is a room for improvement. And as this board, we have managed to do a thorough diagnosis and we've picked up some of those areas which require improvement. We have managed to create and set up systems in place. We have managed to put various policies now in place. And I believe Chairperson afforded an opportunity coming into the next term of the board. The landscape in terms of the faith of broadcasting will change immensely. I have that institutional memory. I've been part of processes that have been developed now, and I'll be able to deliver in terms of taking them forward. We have identified from time to time around the issue of unfair and unbalanced reporting sometimes. Take, for instance, if you look at programs like Special Assignments, they will focus on Zimbabwe and Home Affairs. And we have noticed this as board members. And we said, these things are unbecoming. And therefore, we have given instruction to the GCO to work with the MG of News. One, to identify people in society, credible, that we can poach and bring to SABC. Funds are a major problem, but that is a process that is underway. Currently, we do not have a seasoned journalist in SABC, particularly to interview high-profile and prominent members of our society. And we have, in the interim, asked the MG of News, who is not necessarily supposed to be doing that, Dr. Gavala, to hold the fort in terms of interviewing a high profile and prominent people at the presidential level in interim. So we take seriously into account the recommendation making that there are people like Dr. Gavala Manu and others who should be considered ready to be brought into SABC to bring that level of vibrancy and balancing in terms of reporting. The issue, I think, let me pause there, because this thing is answer all the same to say, we are striving towards creating a balance, but we have challenges internally, resources, human, financial, and otherwise, and also there are human factors which we are trying to address, and we have identified, and I will not do justice to absolutely different entities to say, all is well. We have identified some of the weaknesses. And like Jefferson is saying, that we will be meeting soon with the portfolio committee where we'll be presenting our reports and findings and recommendations going forward. Some of them are trade secrets, which we are supposed to be keeping confidentiality between ourselves and the portfolio committee so that we can be able to deal with our competitors accordingly. That includes poaching. SABC is being used as a poaching ground, and from time to time, they will do come back to SABC.
Mr. Becky, thank you very much. I'm going to give you a minute just to say your closing remarks, but we are going to be coming to the board, and I think in your handover report, you should be able to come out with that diagnosis that you've spoken to about what the purpose was and the lessons of the SABC, what are the weaknesses, so that those who are coming in should also be able to assist in that. You know, everybody who has come here has raised the importance of the research capacity for journalists, the training and things like those. And that bench there is listening very carefully as to what the country wants to do. We have noted your passion for the SABC and your determination to come back to the board and to be given that opportunity. And thanks for remaining youthful as a young lion. Keep it that way, but you could Google Tandai. So I can't claim the same. With the same passion for the young life. But a minute to close before we take the other one. Members are going to go for lunch at half past one. We must take this next candidate before we go to it. And I appreciate that you've taken longer on Mr. Becky, like you've taken also on the other board members. Issues that you've raised are not responded to in full. Please just understand that we'll take that time with the board. Mr. Becky, your closing remarks?
Chair, I would like to thank the committee for affording me the opportunity to present myself, and I would like to say that if you so need people who are entrepreneurial with business acumen and with expertise in terms of academic and research into the board, who understand SABC business, particularly now leading up to 2010, there are a lot of challenges and opportunities. New media space is coming. Everybody is playing in the digital. I've been part of those processes, Jefferson. I understand them very well, and this is the value that I'll bring to the SABC. The issues of procurement, which I've alluded to, which are very critical in terms of building the second economy, I've been part of putting together the procurement policy, which has been implemented now, and making sure that South Africans do benefit out of SABC, $5 billion worth of business. These are the issues which I'm willing to take forward. There's technology challenges leading up to 2010. Some of the members of this house might have heard that around the World Cup in Germany and also in South Africa, I was part of the team, actually the only one in the board who had attended a process where we were testing the high-definition television system to broadcast for 2010. And I believe that everything will try our level best with minimal resources at our disposal to hold the board. And I'm looking forward to come back to this board again to add that value at all levels and all levels. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Becky. It was a privilege to have you here and to get you to respond to all these questions. We'll let you know the process. We want to finish on the 7th of September, and before Parliament goes into recess, to be able to give a recommendation about the 12 non-executive directors of the SABC. So, good luck, sir.
Thank you.
The monks, we're not even going to take a break. If you want to take tea and come back, it's there, and fruits are here. We're taking one of our disability activists, Ms. Nakadin. And I hope you're not going to take as much time as you took. She's coming in now. To be a guest nominees, we shortlisted to 37, which was a very difficult, tedious exercise. All your CVs are so impressive that we could have taken all of you to serve on that board. But unfortunately, the law just wants us to take 12. Now you've got to leave this room, having co-convinced us to take you for another term. But for now, tell us about yourself. We've gone through your CV. Very impressive one. You got to do the selling now. And tell us why you want us to consider for another term. I'll give you 3 to 5 minutes and then we'll field questions.
Thank you, Chair, and good afternoon to everybody. As you said, you see my CV. I don't think CV says much about people. It just lists the things, a lot of things that you've done. The proof is in the pudding, as they say, and I hope that I can answer your questions in a way that is satisfying to you. I think the most important thing since the last interview is that I've received my MBA certificate, and that also is just a piece of paper. But what I have done was to get deeper into the tourism industry with the idea of creating products in the market for disabled people. Obviously, I'm disabled, and I find a great lack of access when I travel. So that is what, in a business, in the business world, is what I'm trying to achieve. I just got to the point where I got tired of trying to convince service providers to make themselves accessible for free, no less, and they don't want to do it. So I decided I can make money out of the access issue for myself. So that's on a business level what I have done in the last time since you've seen me. With regards to why I should go back to the SABC, the SABC is a very complex organization, not because of the industry it finds itself in, but because of where it comes from in terms of our past. So there's a lot that needs to be fixed and done, as you all well know, and things that you've seen in the media. So once you get in there, 4-year term is quite short. 4 years is a very short period of time for such a complex organization. So when you just get to know the organization, the intricacies and how it works, then you've got to go. And I think just on a general level, besides myself, a 4-year term is too short, or one term, let me say, is too short for a board member, because it takes away continuity. Because you just get to a point where you lay a platform, and then somebody else has got to come on top of that platform and implement. And that's always a bit difficult to do, as we found. I certainly did find for myself on from the last board. So why I should be there, I've just gotten it right. To 2 boards ago, I think we adopted a gender strategy. The disability strategy is now before it's going to go to the HR committee and then to the EXCO, and then it comes to the board for recommendation. Now, having said about implementation, then somebody new comes and they don't understand the rationale for some of the things that this board put in place. Now they must take it forward. So it's sort of backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards. So certainly for those 2 reasons that there will be an adoption before the end of my term, the current term, the adoption of a disability strategy, but then the adoption of the gender strategy, as I just said. Now what you've got to do is do the audits of the policies to make sure that they align with these strategies. And then, more importantly, is to develop implementation plans or action plans, and then to see that through. I would like to be part of that, to see the implementation of that through, to know that they, if somebody says to me after 2 terms on the board, what have you done? I can say I've implemented gender and disability strategies. There are other things that need to be done as well. But I think we haven't achieved, certainly this board that we set out to achieve at the beginning. One of the first things we did was to set, we called them board goals at the beginning, 12 board goals. But as we went and took it through the organization, they've since become corporate goals, and those goals we are trying to work towards now. With the new strategy that was developed when Darlene Porfo came in, and so it speaks to those goals, and then the strategy needs to be rolled out. We haven't achieved everything yet, so I'd like to continue that work.
Thank you very much. How many of the board members have come back in your view for continuity?
How many board members I think should come back?
For continuity, like just a number.
Oh, you mean just a... Oh, how could you put me on the spot like that? I think at least 2/3 in terms of a general thing that I'm talking about for continuity and to implement, because, you know, it's really difficult. We found it very difficult, or let me say me, I'm speaking for myself now, to understand the rationale, especially when something that you've done is not implemented yet, for new people to come and take that ball and implement it, because they're going to ask questions. They weren't part of the formulation thereof, they weren't part of the planning, and so the people who did do that, if they were majority new people, they would have to start again, so that they can feel comfortable and they can feel satisfied that what they're going to be judged on is actually their work and not somebody else's half-baked stuff that they now have to take responsibility for and have to implement. So 2/3 would be what I would recommend.
No, we take it as a recommendation. Okay. Comrade Randy.
Thank you. Not longer in and chairperson, I need to say something. Remember at the SAPC, the last visit, I went up to the boardroom and I've done some certain things. Like, for instance, I went into to the bathroom facilities of those basic things that people need when they go there. And what I've noticed is that they're definitely not disabled friendly, particularly if you need to access these things, which we will say, and that's all of that. And I've done some study, some research. It seems that the SAPC PE studio are the only studio disabled in mind that are structured like that. All other studios, all of them seem to be, even in the Auckland Park, one can construct as disabled as friendly. So Ms. Lagadine won't be able, you know, the normal doors, it's like a normal width. So she will be able to go through if somebody pushes the wheelchair. But she won't be able to deliver the knuckles on that wheel to push her through herself. The women are all wheelchair-bound people need somebody to push them. And then you go further with the bathroom facilities, and all of them. And because those things are not structured or constructed properly, you'll find people always rely on a second and a third and a fourth person to do that. Now, I've raised this before, Jason, just stay with me. If that is not first in your mind, many of those things, it very often gets reflected in the kind of work and the way that you respond to the work. Now, given that you were a member and you were definitely disabled before you being there, and yet I didn't see much happening. There's the NTF period that we operate in, and there's all of it. I didn't see significant changes or changes fast enough to address some of these obvious challenges for the disabled. So, giving you another term, how do we see that necessary being completed? So, end of the term, you say, give me another term because we aren't nearly there, but you only have addressed the one. Thank you.
Are we taking one question,
yes.
One answer?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for that question. You're right. There is very little that has happened structurally within the SABC around access for disabled people. I certainly am a candidate of that lack of access. But what has happened, Marion Roberts has done an audit of that Auckland Park building and all of the SABC buildings around the country. Obviously, PE, I've also been there. It's a wonderfully accessible building. You can see forethought went into that. It was a deliberate strategy to do that. There was nothing that seemed like it was an afterthought. And I was very comfortable in that building. The others I wasn't so comfortable in. But so that phase has been done now, and I think where we are at now with the SABC, Auckland Park certainly, is to take that audit from Marian Roberts and start implementing in stages. I'm not saying it's going to work within the MTS framework, but we're certainly within our budget, our own budget cycles, is to start implementing bits of that report. Within the Auckland Park building itself, believe it or not, there's very little space for what has to happen there. And there was an attempt to make a toilet. They pinched off from the toilet and made it accessible, but the piece they pinched off was hopelessly too small, so they might as well have just left it the way it is. We have been looking at alternatives in terms of moving, should we move, shouldn't we move. We're waiting awaiting a report now that will bring to us the various financial scenarios around moving or not moving, and that goes for other precincts around the country as well. But I agree with you that where your passion is and how you deal with it, any transformational issue, be it the gender, be it gay and lesbian, be it disabled, ageism, youth, whatever, if you are not thinking in that way, what we will put out on TV and radio will reflect your lack of thinking in that way. And I think certainly when I got there, that was the case with the SABC with regards to disability. I have managed to get some of the things right working with some of the organizations of and for disabled people. We certainly have got more sign language on the news bulletins now. Initially it was just on one, and I think it was the English news bulletin. They wanted to cut it down to the 60-second bulletin, which is hopelessly, I mean, that's not enough to tell. You only understand the 60-second news if you watch the full news bulletin. So to just have it on there wasn't a done thing. So I have managed to work with the other board members. There's quite an understanding now around the issues, to the point where if I'm not present as a matter of disability on the agenda, I don't need to worry that the others aren't going to talk about it. They will, and they'll take it forward. So I'm satisfied that that is happening. I will, and this is part of the implementation thing that I said, to take the Marian Roberts report now, because it's quite a good audit that they've done, to take that forward into its implementation phase. And then with regards to programming, there is still very little on TV, and radio is a little bit more in that they've got drama, because that was one of the things in the programming summit that I pushed for, was to say that blind people cannot access drama on TV, so there needs to be lots of drama on radio, because that is their means of them getting drama. So that's even on the Afrikaans and the black stage, language stations, that's happening. But TV is lagging behind because of an industry. The SABC is not the producers of their own content. There are group producers out there. And what the producers are saying is that to make content for and of disabled people is costly. It'll push up their per minute cost. And we, the content hub that is currently busy with a policy. I just helped give input into that policy not so long, about 2 months ago, where they can say these are the regulations to independent producers, and this is what you need to have when you bring content to us. So I'm hoping, again, part of the implementation, that since that the regulation will be there by the end of this year, then to take it forward going forward.
Thank you very much. I've got Ms. Foss. Please see again, Mr. Kumalo.
Yes, I'll be quite brief. In terms of collective responsibility, I'd like to ask you, and particularly two questions. The first one relates to your former board member colleague, Ms. Gorza. We've never really seen the exit report, as it were, or there was, I believe, an investigation following various allegations that she made at the time of her resignation. And that one was that board members were earning more than twice the maximum set for meetings. She made various very wide-sweeping allegations of corporate mismanagement and corruption. She said that there was, which we haven't seen, a damning forensic report with regard to roundtable and provision of content and all kinds of things. Now, there was she called for the AG to report. Could you just give us some idea of what happened there? We will, of course, when we're looking at the board, you don't have to go into too much detail, but I'd just like to get your take on the sort of thing that's happening within the board in terms of corporate, you know, the collective responsibility. Secondly, because you're Cape Town-based, I have been asking the various serving board members this question, and particularly because you're Cape Town-based, the Commission of Inquiry into Blacklisting and Related Matters said the following. The Commission was presented with a considerable amount of documentary evidence emanating from the Seapoint SABC News office. We feel it is important to state that there appear to be serious problems at the Seapoint office, which is true of concerns with issues of political partisanship. Although beyond our terms of reference, we strongly recommend to the GCEO that these issues be fully investigated. Now, this obviously was some time ago. Could you tell us, to the best of your knowledge, what has happened? Have you visited the SABC Seapoint office or had any, indeed, interaction with staff members there? And if so, could you give us some idea of your understanding about what is going on in the Seapoint office in terms of the treatment of staff and the way in which news is reported from that office?
Would you?
Let me start with the Gauza issue. When we got to the board, there were many things that weren't right. The audit committee, under the chairpersonship of Andrew Marillac, immediately instituted many forensic audits and all sorts of things, a lot of which Ms. Gauza spoke about. Those things were at various stages of implementation in terms of the law, in terms of SABC's own policies, in terms of some were criminal, we needed to lay criminal charges, some were just internal disciplinary and so forth. So we every month, or every board meeting, we get a list of those kind of things. But the one particularly that you mentioned there, that she mentioned, when she exited, they were at various stages of those kind of investigation. So without going into too much detail, it's not that we didn't know about it or that we didn't do anything about it. It was, as I said, at those stages of intervention. With regards to the earnings, you know, we struggled for a long time to get with the DOC and the ministry proper, because there wasn't a proper schedule to say what we were paid. We would just got paid what was...
How much you get for
me? Sorry? Are you asking how much you're missing? Now we're on a retainer of the chairperson, deputy chairperson gets different. I don't know what they get. I get 4,000 rand per month because we decided to take it over a month as opposed to quarterly or annually. That's the retainer. And then that's for however many meetings you attend. And then you get a separate amount for subcommittee meetings, which I think is about 3,000 and less than the monthly thing. And that you only get when you do attend subcommittee meetings. If you don't get anything. So, and these amounts are reported in the annual reports. So we just got paid what they were paying, and he asked the question, you know, how actually are we paid, because obviously we need to report this for our own tax purposes as well. So it took a while for the minister to come back to us and then give us a schedule, which is the one we are being paid on now. What was the other thing, the Seapoint thingy? I'm not so sure about the Seapoint thing, but within the whole thing of the blacklisting and that sort of thing, we've done the investigations as the board and the internal committees. Then these things go to management, and then they must obviously do the day-to-day operational stuff around it. So I'm not fully appraised of what particular advice to C-point what was done there. I would hope that management did go and
the never board... Never came back to you.
I can't recall.
Do you know of any board members who have settled for work in SADC in your current period?
I am not sure. It wouldn't come to me. I'm not on the tender committee. I don't know how, you know, the board doesn't... Okay, let me go back. There's a delegation of authority that over a certain amount it comes to the board, and that's over 15 million. Anything under 15 million will not come to the board. And nothing over 15 million certainly came to the board that I'm aware of. From any or any board member, and if it's under 15 million from a board member, I wouldn't necessarily know unless I specifically ask.
Thank you, Ms. Kumalo, and then Ms. Ugua.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, I would have wanted to ask a lot of questions related to programs on disability, but I think it would be a bit unfair to Ms. Lakatin, because the issues of disability require the they don't necessarily need one person who's disabled to deal with them. They need all of us, because one day all of us, actually the issue is we are all susceptible to one form of another disability. It could be me tomorrow, it could be anybody. I might be blind, I might be in a wheelchair after 3 years. So it's not a matter that relates to her alone. Chairperson, the issue that I need to raise one is the fact that don't have to check how many board meetings are held LSADC and in a year annually, and in a lot of that, is it possible to really deal with all the problems and challenges that come from the SADC? Because it could also be that we are not clued up to the amount of work that the board need to deal with and the challenges facing the corporation. Maybe you're meeting four times a year, but the problems that are there are almost on a daily basis. You know, that was the first point. The second question is that there are no current programs running on SABC to highlight the plight of disabled people. Now, there might have been a movie before or a drama series, but I'm saying there are no programs to highlight the plight of the disabled people. Chairperson, an example is that the current housing programs in South Africa, be it RDP or not, there is no deliberate program to make sure that the houses are accessible to people with wheelchairs, to even the type of electrical plug they put there, sometimes a bit higher. A person who will check and not reach them. Thirdly, the toilets that are not necessarily built to be compatible for people with disabilities. Now, there are no programs, as far as I'm concerned, Ms. Lakadin, on television currently now. What is that that could be done to highlight the plight of disabled? But I said to you, all of us are susceptible to one form or another of disability. So, they there doesn't seem to be any program so far in terms of provision for the disabled people. And the last point is, how do we mitigate for the 4 million blind people in South Africa in relation to television and in the light also of the loss of the PSN radio broadcast, because majority of blind people depend on radio because they can't see television. It's just it's dark when they're supposed to can't see anything, except those who are partially blind. Now, the SABC told us that actually they've got 18 million so-called subscribers. I wouldn't understand when they negotiated the deal of the broadcasting, how did they slip out such an important constituent of 18 million people of soccer? because for me that constitutes actually a much larger number compared to the television. It was now, Ms. Lagardin, I'm sure that you might have not been in the board that did that. Obviously, there is an arbitration, and Chairperson has to know that in the last meeting we did say to them they must continue the arbitration. So in this meeting, we look at sometimes we attempt to indicate that we've got a problem with the arbitration that is continuing. But that's what I should do that. So how do we mitigate for the blind people? And Chairperson, the other issue also in Parliament, it's got to do with the type of material. Blind people, while they don't have Braille, documents are not printed in Braille. There's not enough help for them. And whether the SABC does it, because sometimes with due respect to Ms. Agadine, there is a tendency to associate disabled people who are paraplegic and those in wheelchair. And I'm sure there's quite a lot of number of people out there. Thanks, Chairman.
Thank you. Over to you, madam.
Thank you. I'm glad that you started by saying that it takes all of us to deal with disability and just not just myself. And by the very nature of this selection process, I'm sure we always end up with one disabled person only on the board because there are other competencies that's necessary. And disability isn't a competency. Let me put that up front. It's a condition that any of us can have at any time. And I would hope that you are choosing me for something other than my being disabled or being a female or being black. So, yes, it takes more than one person. And that's what I said earlier. I've managed to get most of the board members to a point where they will tackle issues on disability, even in my absence. And some of them have even refused to go into meetings where management has organized meetings that I can't get into. And then they would all not go into the meeting. With the result, the meeting wouldn't happen, and we had to reschedule. That's the first thing. With regards to how blind people will access, I mean, I said earlier we've managed to get drama a lot on radio because that's one of the most natural ways blind people are going to access media and entertainment and education through the media. What is planned within the SABC, and that must just be done. The money is being spent, the technology is there, it's audio description for TV. I don't know if you know about audio description, it's just silent scenes get described verbally, because there are some people that are not completely blind, they partially sighted, they can see some thing and then they can listen to the words and so forth. There are regulations that I have just from my organization, Disabled People South Africa's perspective, done a submission for ICASA with regards to regulations around these things that we are talking about right now. And hopefully the industry will accept the regulations and implement accordingly. And the SABC is certainly part of the industry and they must also follow suit. For example, you will find when they come on, and I've talked about this even outside of the regulations, when the news come in and they bring the indicators later on the business news, there's no words, there's just music and then it shows the gold price and the rand, dollar and that sort of thing. So it's silly, I don't know why they do that, why don't they just say rand versus dollar and what the gold price is. So that's part of what I know the regulation speaks to, and I am also lobbying for that to happen. I'm not sure why it still continues to happen like that. Yes, there are many, many blind people, if not by birth, then by accident, but then certainly by age. I'm also starting to wear glasses now, so... And I hate it, because every time I've got one, then I just don't read, you know, if I've got to try and figure out or find my glasses. So yes, you know, a progression of age that does happen too. I'm not sure how to deal with the PSL thing. I've not been appraised of what has just happened, broken in the news that I've heard of. I've been trying to get hold of Dali and get some first-hand indication of what I also see and hear in the news right now. But I think, and I also believe the arbitration is happening today. That's probably why I wasn't able to get hold of Dali. That is going to be the only place that blind people can access the soccer is on radio. So I'm hoping that they will be able to sort this out today and that we will get back on track to where we were appraised of in a previous board meeting that we've got radio, there's a plan in place with the agreement on the part of all parties that arbitration is going to happen, and then a different plan will be after arbitration. So, did I answer all your questions? Did I leave anything out?
How many meetings?
You know, if I were working, I would say 4,000 rand is too little as a retainer for all the meetings that I've got to go to. For example, the PSL thing. We have emergency board meetings because of things like that, and that's 4,000 rand, and that's that. You're not going to get another 4,000 rand because you had three meetings in a month. But what we strive for is to have quarterly meetings or every 2 months. It is not possible to deal with all the issues for an organization such as the SABC in that limited amount. But I don't think I'm advocating for more board meetings because what also needs to happen is that when you have a board, we've got the subcommittee meetings that recommend to board, and then board approves, and then management must go and do. Now, if you have too many board meetings, then there's no time for management to do, because by the next meeting they've got to come and report on what they've done, but they can't because they've not had time to do, and then it's the next board meeting. This has happened on some other boards that I've also sat on. I think we just need to work more efficiently. We need to schedule time for in the event of some emergency. By the very nature of the public broadcaster, there will be emergency meetings, and I think we just need to have a tighter schedule. The problem, though, is that we are full-time employed also elsewhere, and we then need to just have a very well-managed schedule that the secretariat and the chairperson needs to help us with, the secretariat of the SABC board.
Thank you very much. You know, I've looked at your age, and I associate with that age. In Afrikaans, I say there's no die yard for Brill and Pala. Miss Nkuna.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I would like to really agree or align myself with what my colleague has said, that the disability is not a question of an individual, it's for us all. If you're not disabled, you're somehow affected or affected. So my question is, it's based on the sign language. We do have institutions where our kids are taught using the sign languages, and they communicate so well with their educator. But the problem arises when now these learners go back home. The parent is not able, or the sisters or the family is not able to communicate with this particular learner using the sign language. The sign language stops at school. And then when these kids are now at home, then the parent uses anything, let's say maybe I want him or his figures, you see, of which is not fair. So, well, it's also my concern that I did raise it with one school for the where sign language is used. I would like to know that from the SABC board, do you have anything in mind, you know, of ensuring that when it comes to sign language, you know, the parents as well are taken on board for them to be able to communicate with their children during the time when these learners are at home. It's also my concern as well. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You know, when I first became disabled, I've been disabled now for 20 years, and soon after I was disabled, I traveled to Canada to Disabled People's International Congress, because I was every second year. And wherever we went, people could sign. In a restaurant, it had nothing to do with the conference. In the evening we go out, at the conference we asked for direct, so everybody could sign, and I thought this was strange, you know. And asking and talking to people, I asked around, and they said, you know, it's part of the school curriculum. So they didn't do it for the sake of the conference that was coming. It was part of the school curriculum. Like any other language, learners could do that. So I think that's the first thing that we as a country collectively should do in this country. But the SADC as, and I have a problem with this, there's a program called DPD, and it's just about deaf people, and, you know, I've been asking for a while that we make it broader than deaf people, because you know what happens now? It's ghettoized, because I don't think any of us deliberately switch on to watch. You don't make an appointment with that program. If you happen to see it, you see it, and then you think, oh, let me flip the channel and go somewhere else. So first of all, it needs to be broadened so that it's not just about deaf people, and it needs to become part of the mainstream in prime time. We need to, I watch a lot of children's programs because I want to see, you know, because we've got puppeties and animation doesn't necessarily mean it's children's content, you know. So I keep an eye on a lot of that. And I do see that there are some programs that they do speak in sign language, but I think we could do more. We could perhaps have a slot where we teach sign language for the public. We could perhaps do something like that. I know Brit teaches a diploma course in sign language. We could link up with them and say, how do we make a program so that you can just, if you're sitting in front of the TV, they show you one or two signs for a sentence or two. And I certainly will take that back with me if I get back on the board.
Madam, I think that was the last, and we are going to invite you for lunch. It's just across here. And before I just conclude here, I'm going to ask members to be back here by 2:15 so that we take the next 45 minutes lunch time. But I think that the matter that we were raising here is that it's this matter of adult education and signage, how we do it as a country. I'm sure the Department of Education should also be on board here. We'll be interested to see some of your submissions on the regulations to ICASA. I think that's something that we might just want to come back to you on, just to see what is the thinking. The question of the Braille that was asked is not lost. We will certainly follow up some of the issues that were raised by honorable members. And the question that you're raising about the SABC not producing its own content, the content hub issue, I think it's a major issue because they are saying to us that the local content generally is expensive. It would seem that for progress for disability is even more expensive. That's a matter that we'll have to engage because we see that we better in a lot of other matters. The last point that you raised on the strategy of disability, which is still with the Human Resource Committee, is a matter that we will not lose. We'll follow up. We intend to have a meeting with the board soon before you leave office officially. Whether you come back or not, I mean, it's a matter of great debate in this committee, but we've heard your point. You might just want to give us in 1 minute your closing remarks before we go on lunch, something very appetizing.
Okay.
I'm joking, it's up to you. Just whatever you say.
Okay. As I said when I started, I hope I'm not being seen only as a disabled person. I serve on the Human Resources Committee, I serve on the PCS and TBS, that's the two different sectors of the SABC, and I serve on the Procurement Committee. We also have just put in a procurement policy that speaks to gender disability, use all the transformational issues that we need to, and I'm hoping that that policy will assist us in some of the things that you've just mentioned so that we can get the money in the right kind of budget so that people don't have an excuse to say it's expensive to do disability content or anything like that. But there wasn't that kind of policy before. And it's very difficult, as you know, internal audits, they go after the audits for people to do things outside of a policy because then they get into trouble. So the policies are in place now.
Thank you very much. You have noted on your CV the number of votes on page 9. Where you are, I take it that those are the only ones that you're active currently.
Yes, I think the intersite is still on there, but the intersite board sort of, the minister hasn't reappointed us, so we just silently, we died a silent death on that board, so I don't think there's an intersite board, so I'm currently only on the SABC, the Disability Employment Concerns Holding Company, and then its related trust. Those are the only active things I'm on at the moment.
Thank you very much, and Casimir, thanks for sitting with us throughout. I think we've punished you enough. But if you want to come back, please do. We're reconvening here at 2. You see, we want you to be able to take over some of these processes. You see that we're not getting younger, eh? But we're not getting old either, eh? Madam, good luck. The meeting has ended. I'll tell you about it.